Welcome back to Cognac Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we are back with another episode. It's my week. I have another cult episode.
Do you really? Where do you find the cults?
Like, where did I find this?
Yeah, please let me know.
I don't know where I found this, but this shit was fucking crazy. I was like, what the hell? But I don't remember where I found it. I think maybe just me Googling like
cults.
just black crime or black whatever is what I found this. But I don't remember exactly where I heard this at. But there's like some YouTube videos and some things out there about it. Not that many, so we'll be one of few. And so the person I'm going to talk about today is DeVernon LeGrand.
Okay.
What a name.
That's a hell of a name. Mm-hmm. LeGrand.
So maybe that I haven't heard about it because he's kind of old, like, but not that old. So he was born in 1925. And
damn. What is that TikTok thing? Yeah. He's like, well, I'm 27. And they're like, damn.
And they're like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Dead. What's his name? Vernon? I'm sorry.
DeVernon.
I'm sorry, DeVernon.
So there's not a lot known about DeVernon's early life. I think that the most that I could find is that he was originally from North Carolina and then he moved to Brooklyn, New York when he was around 12. But from what I gathered, he had a pretty normal life. Like, it wasn't anything crazy like how some of the cult leaders or serial killers will say, like, oh, my mom was a prostitute or, you know, crazy stuff like that. I didn't get any of that from
there's a dog.
If y'all hear Tippy Tappy, that's my dog. I didn't gather any of that from when I gathered about his early life. Seemed like he came from a good home and just kind of like nothing to see here type of thing.
Okay.
So he did end up in his later life starting the St. John's Pentecostal Church. And so this was basically a church where he would use like young women. And when I say young, I mean like as young as when I was able to find 15, 16, like young, underage women to go out and beg for money. And they would stand outside on the streets of New York and to beg people for money. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as you can guess, they would take the money and then bring the money back to him. And that was kind of how he was running his church. That was something that you had to do as a church member.
How did he get them to do that? I guess they did. I guess they, well, I don't know where the money went yet, right? So for all I know, it is donations. But were they begging like, oh, like, I don't know, give us money for the church? Or they were just like, I'm homeless, give me some money. Like was sure. Were they faking like they were in need? Or were they acting like it was like church fundraising?
I'm not sure. That's true. Because I'm not positive about that. Because since you asked that question, I automatically made the assumption that they were like fake.
Yeah, that's why. I first thought too that he was making them go on the street and act as if they were in need. Yeah. But then I'm like, oh, maybe they did just go out and be like, I don't know, like.
Nah, because I wouldn't. I think they probably were fake in need because I'm not giving up. If I am driving by the Safeway, because you already know where I live, sometimes people stand outside panhandle and things like that. And if it was a church saying like, oh, do you want to donate? I would say absolutely not. But sometimes I do see the women say, oh,
exactly.
I need rent. Have their children out there and everything too. So sometimes I will give them money or bring them food or, you know, things like that. So I feel like in order to get the money, they probably were faking.
That's what, yes.
And that makes me think, God damn it. I hope these people that I've been giving stuff to ain't in no damn cult.
So it's, I don't know if we're in a cult yet, but lately it's kind of like, I don't know either, right? So I'm the same way. So normally I don't really, my dad, growing up in DC, he's like not a huge fan of giving people money, but he'll always buy people items. So I'm like the same way. Like my sister went to McDonald's, whatever, like I'm always down to buy you like, you know, three items off dollar menu. Like I'll really get, you know, the whole shebang, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm just not really a fan of giving anybody cash. And I mean, I saw someone else say like, oh, like you can't give people cash, they're gonna buy drugs and alcohol. But I was gonna do that too. So lately I actually do sometimes give cash. So I'm like, especially if they're like also the liquor store. Like that last one, I gave a girl money liquor store because I was like, I mean, the hell, like I'm buying liquor too.
Yeah.
Who am I to deny her? But yeah, most of the time if the option is to buy someone something, I just personally prefer to buy them something.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if someone was like panhandling for a church, I probably wouldn't.
No.
So it does make more sense.
You better get that from your tithes on Sunday.
Yeah, it does make more sense that they were like in need.
Yeah. I think they probably were pretending to be in need. Mm-hmm. So, and I did read, this is like an unverifiable fact, but I did read someplace that like he only made, because this is a lot of people into this church. I did read that he made them give him like $5 or $10 or something like that. Mind you, this is in like the '50s. Mm. He made them give him like $5 or $10 and then they could keep whatever else that they got that day, they could keep it. So it was almost like commission, you know. So that might be why they,
it's kind of weird though,
were able to, like, why they were willing to do it, because with that money he had, like, I'll get into it, a townhouse and like multiple properties. Mm. Actually, at one point this cult was grossing over $250,000 a year.
But you also can, like,
in the '50s and
but
60s.
I also can stand outside and panhandle like for free, like without like a panhandling pimp. Like I can just like,
but you won't have no place to stay though.
Oh, he was housing them?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. He was housing them, feeding them, and all this stuff. So if you're getting housed and fed in this house, which I'll get to the house, but if you're getting housed, fed, and you're basically getting all your needs met, and then all you have to do is give this nigga $10 a day, and then if you make $30, you can keep 20 and give him 10. Mm-hmm. Then, to me, to answer your question, that may explain why they...
Yeah, that's not bad at all, man. And back in the day, what? $5, like $500? Like, shit.
Like, it wasn't that fucking long
ago. My mom told me her rent was like $200. I'm stupid when she... My mom's from like the middle of nowhere, though. But when she first moved out, it was like $200 or something.
Yeah, my sister's dad, when I told him that I got a condo where I got one, he was like, oh, I lived there, too, when I was in my 20s. And I had basically the same as you, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and the rent was $400.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, and I was like, what the fuck? And he was like, yeah, it was $400. And yeah, that was just that. I was like, okay.
My dad weirdly used to live kind of, I'll tell you where, we lived kind of weirdly close to here at one point in his life, which is like, it's just weird how everybody kind of, I don't know, cycle. Everyone goes through their phases. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody, like when you're younger, you live super close to the city and then you move out, you move like outer and outer,
it's not
and outer, yeah, so you're literally based in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So the women in this church, they actually took to the point of like the house. So the kind of headquarters of the church was this 4-story townhouse that was in Brooklyn. So there's a townhouse, he had 4 levels in it, and it was occupied by him and 11 they weren't nuns, like they like, were fake nuns. Mm-hmm. Like when they would go out and panhandle, they would pretend to be nuns and put on like nun uniforms. Mm-hmm. So it was 11 nuns, and then their, guess how many kids?
26.
47.
Damn. And I thought I was on the up. Sheesh.
47 kids in that 4-level house and 11 women. And at one point, they got raided, obviously, as you do when you're doing illegal activities. And they were like, all the kids in there look, you know, they look like him. So this nigga had like almost 50 fucking kids and 11 wives.
How did he get them to join the cult? Like, what was like the ploy to be like what was
well,
like the...
he would pick up, from what I gather, he would pick up young girls. And then after he like picked them up and like had sex with them, like began a relationship, if they tried to leave, he would basically use brute force, like threaten them and say, oh, I'm going to kill you, or, you know, things like that, to make them want to.
So still fear tactics.
Yeah,
so
fear tactics. Okay. It was even so bad that one of the women who, because he had a few charges before his, you know, before this cult was dissolved. One of the women who pressed charges against him for rape actually ended up dropping the charges and then marrying him. Girl.
That's actually like a real like cult. Like, yes. That's actually, it's so, like, so every time I do cult episodes, I feel like I'm like super, like, I don't know, just like stunned and confused about how much power people can have over like another human. But it makes sense, like him being a grown man and deliberately picking up young women, like all of that makes a lot of sense. And I'm like 18 or even 16, and you know, I try to get, you know, file rape against him, and then he can physically overpower me, and I'm living in this house, and you know, everything I know is in this like bubble. It makes a lot of sense. But I'm always like super, I don't know, like stunned over how much power you can have over someone, just like psychologically. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. That's why when people ask me like, oh, why do you watch why do you watch this type of stuff? Why do you listen to this type of stuff? I'm like, because I don't understand the way people's mind works.
I don't get it.
And I want so badly to, like, I just be watching it like, wait, they did what? And they let him do what?
Yeah.
Like, it's just very interesting to me.
I get it. I don't get it. I think a lot of times you have to find vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it's like you have, there's like a certain level of trust you have to get, and you have to find people who are willing to give that to you. Like, it's like you really got to know who to look for to join your cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like this like cult video game I play.
Girl.
Like, Honey, I Made a Cult.
What is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it's, I have it on my computer.
It's
it's on Steam if anybody wants to play with me. It's like, no, it's one player. You can't play with me. But,
what the fuck?
Yeah, it's fun. You mega cult.
Mm-hmm. Let me put out
my cult, like, so my cast name is Salem and they like pray to Salem and stuff like that. It's very fun.
Not me typing that,
Honey, I joined a cult or something like that. Honey, okay, I started a cult. Did you find it?
No, I didn't type it. I just put it there for later.
Oh, yeah, I have. It's like $20.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, so
good times.
He had this cult and they said, like you said, he'll do most of the recruiting. He would get these young women. He would a lot of times get them pregnant, which I feel like this man almost, as we get into it, you'll see, this man almost operated like it was kind of like an open secret. So he would get
open secret.
Yeah, like he would get these little girls pregnant and then kind of threaten them and say, oh, well, if you don't, you know, do, if you don't go on the street and beg for money, then I'm going to, you know, kill you, or I'm not going to take care of the baby, or I'm going to put you out, out the house, you know, whatever the case may be. And so I was just like, so if this man has a baby and the baby is one and the girl is 16, did nobody do math to figure out that he had fucked the 15-year-old?
Yeah, but does he,
what is going on?
I'm like, did he show up to the, like, the, not the operating room, but does he show up, like, when they give birth? Do they actually go to the hospital or do they show up? Cause I feel like a lot of times in these cults, like, they actually don't. Ever to, and I feel like it's like what some cult it was. I feel like when they finally get the kids, it's like 15 kids with social security numbers, like they literally don't exist. Like it might be that type of thing where they just don't, you know, if you don't give birth in the hospital, kids, they don't exist. Like they literally don't, to the US government, they don't exist. So
that's facts. Yeah, that's facts. You're right. They probably were not aware of that, because I'm sure if he did it like a normal person and showed up to the hospital, they'd be like,
I feel like, who's the father? Like, there's stories nowadays. People, like, said, like, a girl comes in and someone's like, oh, like, who's the father? They come and they're like this 30-year-old man, and they'll literally like take him down that same day. Like,
yeah, that's because that's what I'm used to. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
you can't. But I'm sure back then they didn't.
Oh yeah, back then like crazy stuff was going on. So they might have even been going to the hospital and no one blinked an eye. I feel like people were having like 17-year-old brides back then, like 42. With a 17-year-old, like no one blinked twice, like
yeah. So he actually did end up getting a few charges. So those charges consisted of first degree rape, and he actually was sentenced, like he was charged with that with his son. And his son's name was Nakonda, N-O-C-O-N-D-A. I hope I'm saying that right.
Oh, his son charged
him
with rape?
No, his son, him and his son. Because at the end, like you said, he got about 50 kids, right? Mm. His son was 20 years old at the time. Mm. Him and his son were committing crimes together. And him and his son both got charged with first degree rape for repeatedly sexually assaulting a 20-year-old woman who was one of their church members.
Oh my God.
So by that time, the call has been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Some of his kids were grown, and some of his kids decided to follow in their daddy's footsteps.
That's so crazy. I don't think I've heard or we've done an episode yet where the cult has like a successor, where like one of the kids start to then like carry on the legacy of the cult. I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's some deep, deep cults that have that, but I don't think we've covered one where it actually succeeds past the original, like, I don't know, cult leader.
Girl, it's a thing. Like, they're still a thing.
Oh, the cult?
Yes.
Oh, what?
You can find his kids on Facebook and shit.
What?
Yes. It is crazy. Yes.
I don't think we've even done one that still exists. Well, the other one exists. Doesn't one of them exist? I don't know, dude.
Yeah, we've done so many episodes.
Yeah, but one of them exists.
There are children of his that are on Facebook that you can, somebody got charged, I think, is, I mean, and this is like 20 years ago, but I think like 2002, like, for being a fake nun. I don't know what that charge was. I'm like, can you get charged for, like,
impersonating a nun?
Like, it's not like impersonating.
Maybe like a religious figure. I don't know, dude.
There was a charge. Just, and then that's how you, like, they still exist. They're still out there in New York panhandling and being fake nuns and, like, doing weird ass shit.
Very weird. Yeah. Very
weird. And this guy is dead, mind you. This guy is dead. I mean, I know. And they're still doing this.
I wonder. That's so interesting. Very weird. Very weird.
Mm. So, eventually, they're kind of, like, he raised enough money in 1966 to purchase a 58-acre kind of, like, camp in Catskills, which I think is a part of New York. And then it's like a, like, they basically treat it as like a retreat. Mm-hmm. And so they would go up there, and then they started receiving complaints from the neighbors. And I'm like, this is fucking crazy. They started receiving complaints from the neighbors of people going in and out. They were hearing gunfire. They're hearing women screaming. They said the children would just be like roaming the like land and be dirty and not put together and hungry. And, you know, so they got a lot of calls about these people who were coming up to Catskills.
What the hell?
And they were not fucking... They were like, okay, like, the people came in, the police came in, they raided it in 1968, so 2 years later, mm-hmm. after all these complaints did not end, they raided the home, and they did gather, like, some information, but I guess none of it was enough to, like, remove anybody from the home or anything like that, so they just kind of left them alone. Mind you, this was not their main residence. Their main residence was the townhouse in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. New York, and... The kind of the same thing happened in the townhouse in Brooklyn. They raided that house, and you can't have 47 children in a.
You absolutely cannot. Yeah.
So that they he did get a charge of child abuse and neglect for that, having 47 kids and 11 women in a 4-bedroom townhouse.
I actually can't even imagine. Like, now that you say that, like, the idea of, like, that many children and adults, but that's crazy.
Well, they said that he had, like, they all had, like, a. Like, he was putting them in corners and
put them in corners.
Like, all had their little, like, space. And they said even some of the kids, one account said that he had cages for the
children.
Yes. Cages. I think of cage, I'm thinking of a dog cage.
Me too, but I'm like, 40, like, even 47 crates, though. It's like, that's that. This they must be tight. Yes. Like, for children? So, did they? I'm like, I'm never an advocate of people taking children. I'm like, he'd still get to keep the children after.
From what I gathered, they took some and they left some. And that's why I said,
so weird.
I feel like this man was operating in the open. I'm like, was he paying the police or something? Cause, like, this is crazy.
So when they asked him, I don't think it's a crime to have 47 children, but I think the thing of neglecting them, I guess.
Yeah,
so
it's like, neglect because you don't have the proper, it's a fucking townhouse. You know what I'm saying? It. Like, it's not a mansion. It's a townhouse. So you cannot have 47 kids and 11 women and you. And they said 7 of the 11 women were pregnant. So 47, we're adding 7 more, right? So no, that's not enough room for that amount of people.
People are crazy. That is...
What are you doing?
I don't get, like, I feel like I never get the kid part of it. I feel like it's like, yeah, I get the, like, scamming for money part of the cult. But, like, the having a million children part of it is, like, it's, like, where you lost me. Like, why? What's with the raping and children every time? Like, it's... I mean, I guess that's, like, what? Part of, like, the mental issue of, yeah. Like, I feel like people have cults they want to, I don't know, like, create their own universe. And, like, yes, yeah, so I feel like that's the part of it. But it just feels... It's just really, like, wicked, like...
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is, like, prove almost, like, their manhood. Like, they feel like, oh, in order to, like, be a man or be a leader, I have to have all these children. And I don't quite know where that comes from. Probably somewhere in religion. I'm not religious, mm-hmm. so I don't fucking know. But it does tend to be a running theme that they're yeah. like, oh, in order for me to be the big man on campus, I have to have all these wives and have all these kids. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's just kind of like, why? And then they be fucking on the damn kids. But that's neither here nor there. That's nasty. So, on to the next part of the case. But like I said to you, he got charged with a first-degree rape. And so, things kind of started to hit the fan when there were some church members that one of the church members' name was Gladys Stewart and the other one's name was Yvonne. They were sisters. And they were going to testify against him in this charge and some other charges. And when they went to go testify, they were missing. These women just disappeared into thin air. So it was just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, they disappeared. It was done. He still got convicted of the charge, but they couldn't find Gladys and they couldn't find Yvonne. So informants came to the police and basically told the police that that DeVernon LeGrand had admitted to his church members that he had murdered the two girls and dismembered them.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Hold on. Oh my God. Hmm? He murdered the woman who were supposed to testify and then told the church that he murdered them.
Yes, as of like how we've seen, we're seeing his behavior, a fair tactic.
So, oh, wait, so did he actually murder them or he just told people he murdered them?
No, he did.
Oh.
He did.
He murdered and dismembered these women?
Yeah. What the fuck? Basically, the story goes is he was upset and like a, what they said was a fit of rage. So they said that people in the church said that he was like, oh, I murdered them, like a fit of rage. And then, you know, things like that. And one of them, Gladys, was his daughter-in-law. So it was a girl that one of his taken wives had before she joined the church or before she quote married him. And so one of them was his daughter-in-law. The other one, I was unable to figure out if that was his actual daughter or if that was just another daughter-in-law, but it doesn't really matter, who cares. So Gladys Stewart had married DeVernon LeGrand's stepson, and he basically, like, his name was Donald Stewart, and basically what happened was that people started to feel, or they started to feel like they wanted to leave the cult, and he flew into a rage and felt like, you know, he didn't want them to leave. And in one of the kind of like the church rooms, he in essence stomped them out, like beat them to death. And there's witnesses to the actual, I mean, there's witnesses to the murder, but witnesses that were like in the house that said like they heard it, and then they basically turned it's not funny, they turned up the music
so people couldn't hear.
They started like singing hymns, like being like, hey, sing it a little louder, Sister Mary Claire. So that you couldn't hear these women screaming and like being murdered. By women, I use that term because they were like 16 and 18. So these are, to me, they're young girls. 16 and 18, that's a young girl. So yes, they basically turned up the choir and were like, keep it going. Like, so that nobody could hear the screams, but they could still hear it, obviously. But yeah, so he ended up murdering those two because they were going to testify against him in the trial, and they wanted to leave her, you know, those two women and the husband wanted to leave the church also. So I guess he just felt like that's just it's too much, you gotta go. Yikes.
So he murdered them?
Both of them.
What? But it's like, I feel like people get so caught up in the cult that they don't realize that there's like real ramifications for this. So like, you kill people, but like, you actually kill people. Like, you didn't kill cult members. Like, you're not their, what is it, their god. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, like, there still is like, you didn't even get it, you did it with like people hearing it. Like, obviously you're gonna get like tried for this. So it's kind of like, it's really bold.
Yeah, I mean, they said that he basically, that's what he did. All of the members knew about it. And they said it went on until like 2:30 a.m. before when he came and basically said, okay, like everybody can go to bed now type shit. Didn't mention it, you know, didn't say anything about it until a few weeks later. So what he did was he dismembered these two women, cut them up, and then, like I told you, he had two properties, mm-hmm. right? So he has a property in Brooklyn and he has a property in Catskills, which is kind of like the country. So this happened in the Brooklyn townhome property, from what I gathered. So what he did was he dismembered these women there, cut them up, and got one of his church members to help him, put them in garbage bags, got one of his church members to get the garbage bags, put them in the car, and drive these garbage bags up to Catskills. And I'm like, bruh, I don't know if this is like, I'm like, I don't know if this is, because the thing is, it's so like weird. I think it is true. But the man who he said gave him, because you know, you have like this undying devotion to this person that you basically yeah. think is God or whatever. And he didn't say, he didn't know it was in the garbage bags. But he didn't ask. So
he didn't smell the garbage bags.
I mean, if it was fresh, then
you would smell it. You would smell blood. You would smell it. You would smell the overwhelming smell of blood.
Why Gladys' head fall out?
Of the trash bag?
Of the bag.
Who saw it? The driver or who saw yeah. the person?
And Miss then, Ma'am head fell out.
And then did what? And then he did what?
He tucked that motherfucker back in. No, he didn't. He kept it pushing.
That's that shit about Colts. That's that shit about Colts where I'm like, what? Like, if you were like, oh, Jay, take the trash out of the house, I was like, I'd be back here instant.
What's in this trash,
I'd be like, Taylor, what? I'd probably be frozen. I'd be like, do I call the cops? I'm going to go back and get murdered too. Like, shit.
I was like, I wouldn't come back. If you gave me a
trash bag. Get murdered, yeah.
If you gave me a trash bag and I was like, damn, this motherfucker is heavy. And then a head fell out. I honestly would keep walking right onto my car and call 911.
That's actually
smart. I'm not going back in the car in the house with you. You're crazy. You killed some, like, what the fuck?
That reminds me of like the newest season of, I think it's called like You, the show.
Oh yeah.
Where like they're fighting. They're like, we murdered someone, and then they like try to act like they didn't hear it. Like
they're just like, duh. And then the nigga was like, I didn't hear it. And the nigga trying to run out the house. Right. And I'd be like, and then he got.
Yeah.
Knows that. But yeah, I would promptly keep walking. I would tuck that head right on back into the thing and keep on walking to my car and call 911 and be like, a head just fell out of the damn garbage bag that Jay gave me. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I probably throw up too.
I probably throw up. We have a head without the bag. I don't know what I would like.
Yeah,
I can't even fathom. But I think the last thing I would do is be like, well, I'm gonna keep this secret. Right. And just like go on with my life.
No, but he tucked it back in and went up to Catskills, the property in Catskills, where he proceeded to, DeVernon LeGrand told him that he needed to dump all the, because I don't know, I'm like, did he know that you knew? He had to know that you knew at this point. He told him to dump the garbage bags into a bathtub, where his driver proceeded to pour accelerant on the garbage bag body, like something to make it burn faster.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It didn't say exactly what it is, but you know, an accelerant.
Just to something make it, I get yeah, to something eat, to like
lighter fluid or some okay. shit. Lighter fluid or something. Proceeded to burn the bodies in a bathtub in the property. And then once the bodies were done burning, they scooped up the ashes and threw them just like out into the woods and things like that. Yeah. And in the ocean too. It was like a lake over there. They said there was a lake. They threw it in the lake and in the woods and, you know, just kind of scattered it and things like that. And then his driver went back to his regular life and acted like that didn't just happen.
I'm not trying to spoil it, but I'm assuming that somebody snitched. I feel like somebody.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm like, someone eventually snitched because like the details, there's so many details that we know, as well as obviously they got for it. So it's like.
Yeah. So somebody did snitch. He went back, but he low-key kind of snitched on himself because he went back to his church and started almost boasting about it and saying, like, you know, as a fear
tactic. Like, he's the main one.
Yeah, as a fear tactic saying that, DeVernon, saying, like, oh, you know, Do y'all remember Gladys? Well, you know, if you want to testify against me or you want to do something against me, you can join that bitch, is what he said. This is worth for. You can join that bitch. You know what I do with bitches? I burn bitches up. So if you want to go against me, then you going to end up with Gladys. And he said, and Yvonne, too, her sister, tried to come up here and save her. And I cut her ass up, too. So if you want to play a game with me, you going to end up right next to them. He said this openly.
Meanwhile, like, people get so caught up in the cult of it all that they get blinded that, like, there's a world outside of the cult where you can't be prosecuted because you literally just gave it all up, homie. Like,
I don't think that he thought they were going to testify against him. I think he thought they had done a good job at scaring them enough that they would keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, they get caught up in the cult. Like, so everybody gets so caught up in it, they think that there's, like, how do I say it? Like, they're beyond everything. Like, nothing can get them.
Yeah. So the driver's name, his last name was Holman. And so he said that, you know, he had joined the cult after he was an autopsy assistant, like, funny enough. And so he was talking about, you know, what he did with the bodies and what he did with, you know, as far as the cult goes. Mm-hmm. And basically he decided that enough was enough. And he didn't want to, I guess, basically be in the cult anymore. Like, you know, you can try to instill fear into people, but I guess his shit didn't work because people were like, whoa, like, this is kind of extreme. So I think I would like to go to the police and get out of this because I'm not really feeling this anymore. Like, this kind of, like, take a turn for the left to a place that I don't want to deal with anymore. So he ultimately was convicted of 4 counts of murder. It was the 2 women and then 2 other men in the cult. And actually, there was over 20 people in the cult that went missing. So, but they were unable to prove it, right? So they're just missing. You don't have no bodies. You don't have no, there's nothing. They're just missing. But we all know what the fuck going
That's crazy. Yes. So the 20 people inside, basically, I mean, you make the assumption.
Yeah.
But basically 20 people in the cult got killed. Like, they were regularly killing people in the cult.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's some cult shit. I don't know if I even heard a cult that was really, I mean, there's cults that were murdering people, but
20 people. It's like a cult / serial killer story. Yeah. Like, he was low-key just a serial killer. He wasn't, like, he just wanted to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, him and his stepson, Stephen LeGrand, were convicted of double homicide. They each got 25 years to life. But I think it was hard to understand, like, what that meant. Because he got 2 counts of 25 to life. So, basically 50 years. Mm-hmm. And then, but he's dead. He died in prison.
Okay.
And then his son got 25 to life as well for basically being an accomplice and being a murderer as well. Because I already told you, he was doing things with his son, raping and murdering, and they was following in his footsteps. And DeVernon LeGrand died in prison in 2006. So not that long ago. And he was 82 when he passed away in prison.
What is his son up to?
I think he's just in there.
In jail?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've changed the name of the church. I was in, they say, I think they, St. Joseph Church of Christ and Home, I think is the name of the church. But yeah, he has children. I'm sure, as you know, he had about fucking 50 when he was alive. So he got children, he got grandchildren. And some of those children are still, like, in
the cult.
In the cult. Yeah. And he's not even here anymore. The children are still there. Still panhandling and pretending to be nuns, still doing business, and, you know, I'm the LeGrand family. And I think the thing about it was, like you said, how did he get so many people to be okay with it? He was very rich for his time. Like I said, at one point, this cult bought in $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
And this is in the 60s. That is a lot of money. And people would tell stories about how he would wear, like, gold pants and he had a Cadillac and all this other stuff. And he had 2 properties. As a black man, that's you're bringing in a lot of money.
Oh yeah, especially $200,000 back in the day, like that. Yes,
that's a lot of money. So basically, he was just kind of like, okay, well, if you get with me, you can live this type of lifestyle. Look what type of lifestyle I'm giving to my wives or giving to my kids and things like that. So yeah, that's kind of. I mean, I guess that's kind of it. Shit was crazy to me. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I found the new article, the one you're talking about somebody was basically, they're still operating. Like, they're basically operating. And this was like a 2010 article about them basically still operating in New York doing the nun panhandling thing.
Mm-hmm. Under a different name. But crazy. It's still them. They're still doing it. And I'm just like, but why?
So, like, is the one son maybe running in from prison or something? Or did somebody else? That's just...
I mean, he got a lot of kids. So, who knows? It's not like, oh, there's two sons. There's 50 fucking kids.
That's true. So, yeah, there's no limit. There's no short of... Yeah,
who knows? I feel like that's why I was unable to figure out, like, what is going on. Because he has 50... I'm sure he has more than 50 children. Yeah. He has 50 children. Yeah, one or two of his sons are in prison. But he has 48 other ones. So who knows who's doing what and who's doing who and what's going on?
Absolutely crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And people said that, like, I didn't pull up their Facebook page, but apparently, like, they're, you know, normal. They're clearly not normal. But they have social media. They have Facebook page. I found a YouTube channel, but I was unable to verify if they were, like, the same LeGrands.
Okay.
But someone did leave a comment, like, oh, are y'all, you know, like...
The LeGrand.
Yeah. Like, what is, like, what's going on? And it did seem weird to me that they would put that in their title. Because if my name is, you know, Breonna Smith or whatever, I'm not going to be, like, the Smiths.
Yeah.
Like, who are the Smiths? So yeah, I feel like you saying the LeGrands is kind of like trying to get attention because you know that your family name is kind of like infamous.
Maybe they were trying to get you know that new generation. They were trying to get that Gen Z.
But your granddaddy or your daddy or whoever he was to you is a serial killer. And I think the comment I saw literally said, "Are y'all serial killers?"
But they are. But they're serial killers. But I feel like maybe people are so deep in it that I don't know. That they can't even separate it? I don't know, dude. Like I said, the guy who was like, even the fact the guy was boasting about like being a part of the murders or being in that inside, and that sounds like cult stuff to be like, you know, not just, oh, I murder, so don't mess with me, but being in that inside circle where like, well, I'm in this inside circle, you know, I'm with the closest because, you know, I get to see the murders, you know, I'm an accomplice of the murders. Mm-hmm. Like in a cult, like that's something to brag about. So it's just, I don't know, it's just so interesting how deep people get. Oof.
Mm-hmm. And then to say, because I think that probably like they probably are still rich or have money. From what I gather, their family is still pretty well off.
I bet.
Due to the fact that, you know, their grandfather or their father, whoever he was to them, was basically scamming legally. So it's like, okay.
Not the family business being murdering.
Murdering and scamming. Scamming and murdering. Oof. Is the family business. Yep. So that's all I have, man. That's all I have.
That's actually crazy. This story is kind of random. But have you heard the news about like the Joel Osteen church?
No, I saw that. What did Joel do?
So basically, I've been kind of sort of following it. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the thing is that, like, back earlier, that they reported that $600,000 were stolen from the church. Like, someone stole $600,000 worth of tithes from the church. But basically, one of the toilets broke in the church, and a plumber came in, and the plumber was, like, trying to, I guess, see the plumbing. So he, like, took a chunk out the wall, and when he reached in the wall, there were envelopes filled with money. And basically, he has no loyalty to this church, but he called a radio station. I guess the radio station was like, what's the craziest thing you've seen at work? And this man called in and was like, I was doing work at the Joel Osteen church, and I found $600,000 on the wall. And then the cops came, and basically, yeah, the exact amount they reported missing is stashed in the walls of the church, and they're like looking into it. Obviously, like, you know, they're going to figure out it's like some type of scam, but basically the money they reported missing is just in the walls of the church. It's just crazy as shit.
They're trying to double it.
Yeah. It was just envelopes of money. They just like, yeah, they basically
said it. They probably have insurance and said it was stolen. And then the insurance is going to pay them. And then they're going to have
it. I think they got paid. I think it was years ago. They reported the money being missed. So they probably already got paid the insurance for the money. And then they found the money in the walls. Yeah, and it's wild because, like I said, the guy literally called the radio station and was just, like, trying to tell some wild story.
And it became a thing.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, I knew Joel. First off, I don't like his fucking face. Does that make sense?
He does probably have surgery.
He has a fucking plastic face. Yeah. I hate Joel Osteen's face, first off. Second off, I remember when that hurricane came through Houston.
He wouldn't let anyone in the church,
He was not trying to let people in the church. Like, he was just kind of like, tough tit, poor people. And they were like, hey, Joel, like, you have, like, this church and it's a lot of room in here. And then he said, oh, the church was flooded. And then I think the same type of thing happened. An inside person leaked pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That showed that the church was not flooded, or at least not flooded everywhere. Like, you had places that you could put people. So somebody leaked some photos, and then all of a sudden he let people come in. Yeah. And I said, I thought it was flooded, though. Like, what's going on? Joel Osteen has been a piece of shit. But most megachurch pastors are pieces of shit. I'm just going to say it. Most megachurch pastors, they're pieces of shit. Anytime you pulling up to church in a Jaguar, and I ain't going to name no names, you know who I'm talking about. Anytime you pulling up to church in a Jaguar, and people are literally foregoing bills so that they can tithe your church, you fucking suck.
That's why I'm like, okay, so like
now, they suck too. They're stupid.
But now that I looked it up, I'm like so confused because apparently the guy who found the cash on the wall is getting a $20,000 reward. So I think, like, so I don't know. I've been kind of, I think the church trying to spin it to say that someone stole it, I guess, and stashed it. Because the money found was connected to a 2014 theft from the megachurch. And like I said, they Crime Stoppers Houston announced that they would give $20,000 to the plumber. I guess technically he did solve the case, but like I said, I think it's going to get ruled that they stole it from themselves, but I guess he solved it. So he gets the money.
I mean, yes, because he found the money.
The craziest thing is, like, that's just wild. Some people on Twitter were like, oh, they found the money. They wouldn't have said anything. They just would have taken money. Cause you know, it's stolen money. Like, you find money in a wall. So if you take $100,000, if you can stuff it out the wall, who are they going to call? Who are they going to call that you stole stolen money off the wall?
Facts. So instead of 20K, you could have had 600K.
Yeah, but I feel like... No, you could not have pulled out $600,000.
No, you couldn't have. Because the thing is, it's like...
But if you took all that, like... No.
And then even if you were able to remove it in envelopes from the church, where are you going to put it? You can't just deposit $600,000 into your bank.
You have to, over the course of your lifetime, spend it, like, regularly. Like, over the $20 here and there for the course of your
life.
Yeah, for the rest of your life, you'd have to do that. But I think, like, even with that, if a church is hiding $600,000 on the wall, I'm gonna say this, they probably are not to be fucked with. They probably would have sent somebody to your house to get that money back. Like, I feel like they
could send you to the upper room, baby.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like any church is doing that type of shit, I probably would have second guessed it before I took some money out of the wall. Because if
you could take a few envelopes, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like if you have 600K in envelopes in the wall, they won't notice if you take 5 or 6.
That's like, who?
But if you take the whole thing, yeah. But if you take a few, nah.
It's like, who forgot? Like, who was like, y'all just call the plumber and forgot to let, and then like, the plumber would literally be doing work right.
But maybe it was a person who didn't know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They
that's
could have
true.
Had no idea. Like,
that's
if,
true.
If Joel, in theory, if Joel Osteen is like the mastermind behind this and he's telling some peon, some intern or whatever to call the plumber, they don't know that's
true. I don't think that, like I said, probably is not ready. Like, ready available information that there is money in the walls.
No.
So, yeah, somebody probably did just call a plumber and then was like...
I knew Joel. Son, when I say I'd be right every time, I knew Joel Osteen wasn't shit. And I swear to God, I remember talking to my mama about Joel Osteen. Because that used to be her boy, right?
A lot of people's
boys. Yeah, a lot of black mamas like, Joel Osteen. And I said, I don't like his face. I don't trust him. Look at his face. He looks untrustworthy. Okay? Look at him. I didn't trust him. See? Vindicated. Once again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like I'll definitely be following. I don't know if it's for this podcast, but I'll definitely be following. A lot of black people like him, so maybe. But,
right.
But
why
it's very.
Like him?
Because he's like, Joel Osteen is like an evangelist, but like, I have like a. Like, I. What's to say? I know people that are very into it. And I think that he just has a very positive preaching. Like, a lot of other preachers are like, and it's almost like a, I think if they say it's like a lifestyle or something, it's like different. Like, it's a different type of preaching than like traditional, like, Baptist preaching black people get. Because, like, a lot of Baptist churches, like every fourth Sunday you get a really fun message, but a lot of times they just rag on you and talk about how you're fornicating and drinking and cursing and sexing. But I feel like Joel Osteen is not really that message. Like, you can do it. You will get the blessings that Jesus has for you. Like, it's more like
he's like a life coach to me.
Yeah, I think it is more life coach. It's definitely more positive, like I don't know how to say it. It's more than like you're damned to hell.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of churches you hear a lot of you're damned to hell. So
Yeah. Man,
just interesting tidbit.
Not Joel, but yes, the cults. Not Joel being a cult leader. Yeah, let's find out.
That is interesting. I mean, I don't think it is a cult. I think the key for the cult is when all your money. For me, I decide it's a cult when all the money goes to the cult. Because I feel like with the girls who are panhandling, I feel like who knows? Maybe they said they got to keep it, but it seems like either way, you're still giving a percent of your income to the cult. And anytime I have,
I'm gonna say that. Look what you're saying.
I don't think most churches are a cult. Maybe I'm biased, but I don't think it is. Because I feel like you just literally go home. You don't, like, I don't have to, like, stay there for the whole week. Like, you just go home. Like, even if you, I'm going to stop talking.
I agree, but I just feel like when, anytime you start shaming somebody for not giving you money, like at the church that we both went to, they would pass that motherfucking plate around about four times sometimes.
Why are you doing this?
But yes, it's fucking vex. No,
but
stop passing the plate around.
Figure it out. But like they literally did though. But people would literally be like, you know, the spirit's calling me again, and it'd be like 30 minutes into the service, and the plate's coming around again. The service ends, the plate's
coming around again. It's
like you literally got shook down. In the sanctuary, like you have left with like $20 less. Yeah, the thing is, like, I feel like people joke, but church is like almost like having a gym membership. Like, it's not really free.
No,
but the whole thing is like honestly, like
it's
I
free
feel
to
like,
me, goddamn
it. No, I pay my tithes.
You still tithe?
Yeah, I pay tithes.
Unless my mama give me $1 on a damn plate.
I just pay tithes. And the thing is, the only thing I'll say about it is like the one thing I'll say, all the shade aside from the church, is that I do think that they were managing the tithes correctly. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I never had a problem tithing because they definitely were either putting in the money to upkeep the church. And that was a church that, for the community, did a lot for the community, as well as they also do outreach to provide, I don't know, bills for people, food for people, things like that. So I feel like I never had a problem giving tithes because they were managing it. I could see the impact of them managing the tithes correctly because even like when I was like really into it, I was in like a ministry where like we would get money for Christmas and we would take the money and buy kids gifts and stuff. Or like if you're in the homeless ministry, they actually the church would give them money.
Did you go there?
My family was like in it, but I never went. My family was really into it at one point, but yeah. But the church, they were, it's all church. It wasn't like, oh, bring the meat to make the sandwiches. You showed up and it was already there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like to me that was enough. But I feel like there are other churches that definitely misfunded because you had to clearly mark if you were giving money for the pastor and the money that was for a donation. So I feel like some churches do not have that type of discrepancy, as well as some churches, they just don't manage it well. They're just not managing it. But I mean, so me, I never had a problem with it, but I do see the cult aspect of it.
Yeah, no, I did the Feed the Homeless ministry. Yeah. I used to be up there every Saturday making the sandwiches and things like that. And that's not the issue. That's fine, right? That's a good thing that you're doing for the community. Mm-hmm. My issue with not even just that church, but just certain churches, period, is like, yes, okay, you need to get paid. Aside from the church I went to. You know who Creflo Dollars is? His last name is really... last name is really Dollars. I think that's his name. His last name is really Dollars, which is why I remember it because it's fucking funny. This man used church funds to buy a private jet.
Oh, I think I remember the story about it.
And he was like, oh, I need this to spread my ministry.
Yeah. You can get on a Southwest flight and spread the ministry.
But I think that... You would come across more people. Talk to your neighbor on the Southwest even if you want to do business class. Talk to your neighbor at Southwest and spread the ministry.
People still... It's like people still be people. And like that urge... I said, the urge gets people. I can't really talk on people saying they have the call to be a pastor, or if you just have the call to like be a, what is it, cult leader. But I feel like, you know, like some people, they be fighting them demons, and it can get you. When you see a large pot of money, it can see you. But like I said, I personally, like I said, if you're tied into a church like that and you're not, like I said, you're tied into a church, you go to the Feed the Hungry ministry, but the church needs donations and you know the pastor's living good, but you need to give donations. Like I said, we had like a teen pregnancy ministry, but nobody was bringing diapers, like that we would just get funds and then go buy stuff. But if you have to bring diapers and your pastor has a Lambo, like, maybe it's time to talk. Yeah. Like,
faith. You know, they had the turning point.
There's a little...
for the people like us.
Yeah.
Or not like us, like
me. I'm dead.
Not like us. Like me, I meant. But yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, there definitely is a clear distinction between somebody misappropriating funds and a full-blown cult. I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Joel... Oh, I'm going to call my mama when you leave. And
what's that?
I'm like, did you hear about your boy?
I want to know your mama. She probably heard. She probably heard.
She swore. Like, why are you doing that? Why are you... Joel, he's a positive... you know...
I think they're gonna. Look. Who knows? I feel like they're not gonna find. I mean, they're gonna spin it some way that somebody, you know, someone's gonna take the rap that they were hiding the money. You know what I mean? That they're gonna find some unsuspecting church member, and they're gonna be like, over the years, or just say that they're gonna probably say that he did steal it. But I'm like, they collected $600,000 from tithes at one sitting. Like, the whole thing confuses
me. That church was gigantic.
And I'll say, oh, so maybe I'm wrong. But the thing confuses me. Well, I'm like, yeah, because if you see enough people, I don't know, dude. But basically, yeah, to me, I guess I never went to a church that big to understand that, like, they were collecting $600,000 in one time, because you would think they would take the cash after Sunday and put it somewhere.
I mean, it could be over multiple Sundays, but
they keep the cash in the church.
No, they were stealing. They're not supposed to be keeping the cash in the church, but I don't think it's
it's not a long shot
that they were able to put $600,000 in cash in envelopes over maybe the course of a few months.
So maybe that's it, right? So I feel like maybe they weren't, like I said, maybe somebody was, they would count a little, put an envelope aside. Because in the envelopes, it does look like someone literally stole the tide bucket. And I don't know, dude. Like, how did he get in the wall and then drywalled and painted? You know what I mean? Someone drywalled the wall, then painted the wall. Like, you know.
They was on their Breaking Bad. Have you ever watched Breaking Bad?
No, I didn't watch Breaking Bad.
They were on their Breaking Bad shit. They was on their drug dealer shit. Yeah, they stuffing money in the fucking walls.
Like I said.
And pretending to be a good holy man or woman or whatever. You foul, you trash, and you know it. But not this turning it into a Joel Osteen episode.
But yeah, it's not supposed to. I just thought it was something relevant to talk about then. But yeah, that is all. That is all.
It was. All right, y'all. So let us know what you think about DaVernon LeGrand. And here's the thing I'm going to tell y'all. I'm going to do better about posting on Instagram. Because I feel like I haven't been posting the actual posts. I respond. But I haven't been posting, like, the posts or whatever. So I'm going to make sure I post the things, a picture of DaVernon and things like that. So let us know what you think about this, and also Joel Osteen, because girl, this is the first time I'm ever hearing of this. Like I said, as soon as we get off here,
I'm
calling my mother.
She probably
mama.
Heard. I know she heard.
I'm sure she heard. She just didn't say shit because she knew exactly, I was going to be cool. Right. Exactly. So I'm going to call her and be like, girl. But yeah, so let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any suggestions for next week. We are cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. We are cognacconspiracies on Instagram, and we will see you guys next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye.